Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to welcome Trina Diane Clark James. Trina is the Regional Director of Empower, a nonprofit that helps launch careers for veterans and young adults from underserved communities. Trina, I am so excited to have you on the show today.
So excited to be here.
Oh my goodness. You and I met several years ago through our good friend Lynn Shaw at EHI. And I remember sitting at Plaza Frontenac at the Panera, I believe it was.
You're right. It was Panera.
It was Panera, right? Yes. And we love a good shout out to our client, Panera, by the way. But I remember sitting across the booth from you and just being captivated by your story.
Thank you.
It just touched my heart so much. So I'm so excited for you to tell that story again. We're going to talk a lot about a lot of different things.
Okay.
But I want you to tell that story again and talk about your upbringing. And I just know that our listeners are going to be inspired and it's going to help them and instill hope in them.
Well, great. And thank you so much for having me here today, Lisa. I always enjoy having conversations, very rich and meaningful conversations with you. So I always like to share that I am originally from North St. Louis, and I'm from a very historic neighborhood within the African-American community known as the Vail neighborhood. Did not realize, though, the rich history that was surrounding me when I was growing up. What I saw was a kind of constant deterioration of the neighborhood in which I grew up. And so I always like to also share that I attended elementary schools within the St. Louis Public Schools District. And so I just knew that I was going to the historic Sumner High School, the first African-American high school west of the Mississippi River. So I was devastated and a little upset, mad at my parents, as any good teenager should be, when they told me that instead of going to Sumner, they were putting me in this new program called the Voluntary Transfer Program. So I ended up being bused out to Clayton High School. And actually now as a parent, looking back, I can definitely appreciate what my parents did because I was afforded just a, you know, very high quality education and a lot of resources and just access to information and opportunities that weren't available, quite honestly, to me if I had stayed within my neighborhood school. At the time, I didn't understand that, and I also didn't understand why that was the case, why there were these disparities. I didn't know the kind of words that I would put around this. I just knew something wasn't right, something wasn't equal.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I graduated from Clayton High School, I packed my bags and said, I'm leaving St. Louis, never to return. I was just so frustrated and upset about these inequities that I was seeing. So originally went down to Atlanta in order to earn my bachelor's in mechanical engineering from Georgia Institute of Technology. And then immediately after graduating from there, went on to California to attend Stanford University and earn my master's in mechanical engineering. And then proceeded to start my life as what I thought was going to be just an engineer out in California, working my way up the corporate ladder.
You were living the dream.
I was living the dream. I literally was like living the dream, you know, the American dream. So out in California, and I worked at a few different technology companies. Started off at a computer technology company that produced, manufactured the printed circuit boards that go in. And so that helped me to work my way through some other companies that eventually landed me at Apple Computer. Mm-hmm. And so I say to people, I don't like to necessarily take credit for this, but I did come 2 months before Steve Jobs came back. So I don't know if maybe that was a pull for him. But I was able to really see kind of the rebirth of, you know, this truly innovative company. So I ended up spending 7 years at Apple in different roles, starting off as an independent contributor, working my way up to become a product manager, a new product manager, and then eventually being tapped to be the test engineering manager for the Americas. And all of this, like I said, looked great on paper, but I somewhat jokingly tell people I had my midlife crisis at 30. And so as I was nearing my 29th birthday, was really just reflecting on my life and felt like I have this amazing job. I have this amazing career. I'm working my way up and I'm at an amazing company, but something was still missing. And so looking back, I did some like self-reflection, looked back on my childhood, my experience living in one neighborhood and being bused out to another neighborhood and seeing those disparities. I also was at that time, I had always been really passionate about serving youth, and so was mentoring and tutoring even after I had my own children. And then lastly, I was going through a process with my church that was really big at that time. And so I was reading The Purpose-Driven Life and kind of going through that exercise with other women within my church, really trying to tap into, like, why am I here and making sure that I'm doing things that really serve my purpose in life and what God put me here to do. So through that process, also then looked at what opportunities were starting to pop up that seemed like they would kind of feed my soul. That just happened to be charter public schools. So being out in Northern California, I'm seeing charter public schools come up in different neighborhoods, and it really felt like a more organic process there, where a group of teachers at a school saw an amazing new way that they would want to educate and so said, let's start a charter school. Or a group of parents knew what was working best for their children and so wanted to create something. So kind of put all those things together, the reflection on my experiences, the passion that I had for serving my community, particularly youth and young people, and then the opportunity that was presenting itself in terms of charter public schools being a new innovative way to approach education. Public education. And took all of that and made the crazy decision to leave engineering, to leave Apple, and ultimately to leave California after earning my MBA with a focus on education management and nonprofit management, and return back home to St. Louis with an express purpose of, within a 10-year time, opening up a full-service community charter public school in North St. Louis. The goal was to open it up in the actual Ville neighborhood so that there would be high-quality educational options for young people in the neighborhood that I grew up, and they would not have to leave. So I set off on this new path. Everyone, like I said, thought I was absolutely nuts.
And why would you leave Apple? Yes,
but I had to follow where I knew, like, my heart and my spirit was taking me, and knew that I can take all of those same skills that I had been developing through my education and working in engineering, all those same, like, problem-solving skills, all those same, like, you see something and you want to create positive, better solutions and bring that to the urban public education space. So spent the first year and a half back in St. Louis, actually working at St. Louis Public Schools, really just trying to learn about this specific area that I had no experience in. But luckily, I was part of a program also that specifically was for individuals, management level individuals from the private sector to come into urban public school districts and bring some of the best practices from how you manage in the private sector, not to change school districts, but to affect how their management was, so that would free up more resources, more time, more energy for the educators to really focus on the important thing is the education of children. So was a Broad resident as part of the Broad residency started by Eli Broad. And so that got me kind of in at a level where I was able to work with the superintendent at the time and really learn a lot in a short period of time that I was able then to take to work with the KIPP Foundation in order to bring the KIPP network of charter public schools into the St. Louis region community. I then took all the learning that went into like writing the charter, writing different grants, finding the facilities, hiring staff, doing student recruitment in order to get that first KIPP school, which was KIPP Inspire Academy, opened in July of 2009. Took all of that knowledge and insight and applied that now to the school that was always ultimately my dream, which was Jemaah Learning Center. The goal was to have a K-8 school that would have both a full-service community school model, meaning that we had not just education that we were focused on, mm-hmm. but really the holistic approach of helping to grow, educate, and empower young people and their families, mm-hmm. Knowing that it really was about strengthening and kind of healing our whole community, right. not just the young people. Because honestly, I was thinking about they might be like me. They might get a great education and then just say, I need to leave here and go somewhere where things are better and not necessarily have a positive impact on the community as a whole. Mm-hmm. So we really want to take a very specific approach of not just educating the child, but really supporting the education and empowerment of the child, their families, and then ultimately the community. The other thing we did was that we had a focus on multi-year looping, which was really different and innovative. So our scholars stayed with the same teacher from kindergarten through second grade, and then from third to fifth grade, and then with the same set of teachers from sixth through eighth grade. And so it really did prove to be an incredible model. My own youngest child was one of our founding kindergartners. From his experience there, he still talks about it now, that all that it built up in him in terms of truly understanding the importance of having a village and being connected to people for a long period of time, mm-hmm. not just kind of a short stint in life. That was a wonderful experience. Unfortunately, we did not have our 5-year charter renewed. And so after our 5 years and quite frankly, a lot of drama that opened my eyes to there's more to any industry than just the actual, right. you know, act of doing what you need to do. There's a lot of politics and things that as a leader, honestly, I had to learn. Mm-hmm. I should have been paying more attention to. But our charter was for 5 years. And after that, we weren't renewed. So the school did close in 2016 after 5 years. And I found myself at kind of another crossroads in my life and trying to figure out, so what do I do next? Mm-hmm. And Empower, I learned about it from actually a friend whose son had also been at the same daycare as my youngest. And we had not seen each other since the 5 years had passed of them both graduating. But when I mentioned to her, when we ran into each other, I always say it was divine providence. I truly believe so much happens because it is really according to a greater plan than what we can even try to put together or foresee. Mm-hmm. But we ran into each other that summer. She asked how the school was going. I explained that it had literally just closed a couple of months earlier when she shared the work that she was doing, working at Worldwide Technology with bringing this new technology-based workforce training and development program into the St. Louis market. It was just the perfect marriage of my two lives. Mm-hmm. I always say the first 10 years of my professional career were in technology, specific computer technology. And then the second 10 years ended up being in urban public education for K-8, but still all about just serving youth. And so now Empower I've been with since 2016 and have just been really fortunate to have those two professional lives that I had come together in a way that I'm really still good. Serving my community yes. and really being a part of helping that next generation of technologists come from communities that has not traditionally been known to produce technologists, but really finding that untapped potential that exists there.
I love it. Well, I'm going to get more into Empower. Trina, I'm just thinking there's so much packed in there, so much packed into what you just talked about. One of the first things that I think about, I mean, you are clearly a brilliant person, clearly well, brilliant. You don't go as far as you did at Apple, and you don't graduate from Stanford without being that. But it was really about access to opportunity. And, you know, that's what I really want everybody to think about. It is not what school you went to. It's really not about that. It's like, do you have the same access, an equal access? And I think that is what we really do need to focus on. And I believe every person has potential.
Absolutely. Maybe everyone has gifts and talents that they're born with. And so that's why we talk a lot about that untapped potential, because there is so much that is out there, and because of different barriers, kind of individual barriers and systemic barriers, mm-hmm. It's kept some people from being able to have the same experiences, but they have the same brilliance. They have the same, passion for doing something.
Right.
And just being able to receive that education, that training, that opportunity to exercise those skills that they learn now is the key.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with Trina and talk about more.
As a business leader, you know that keeping a solid first impression with your potential clients, customers, and talent is vital to reaching your organization's goals. If you haven't optimized your website, or if you don't even have a website, you're missing an opportunity to shape your first impression so that it shows your brand in the best possible light. If you're thinking about revolutionizing your website, let's talk. Our team at Technology Partners is ready to help you reshape your online presence. Go to tpi.co/websites and start your journey today.
So, Trina, there's one thing I do want to kind of unpack. Obviously, you are passionate about technology.
Mm-hmm.
You're passionate about that. You love that. But still, there was a hole in your heart where you didn't feel like maybe this is not all there is. Maybe there's a bigger purpose for me. I mean, obviously, you have to have skills, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you can marry the skills with the passion and then marry your purpose in there, man, I think that's when magic happens.
Absolutely.
Talk to us a little bit about that, if you can.
I do absolutely love just like creative, innovative people coming together and thinking out the box and coming up with new innovative solutions to things. Honestly, at the time, I was just starting to feel like at the end of the day, if we don't put out another computer, like how is that going to directly impact what I know is happening? And I was seeing continue to happen every time I came back and visited my family in St. Louis, because all of my family was still here. My brother, my sister, my parents, my grandparents on both sides, everyone's still here. So I was coming back and seeing even more deterioration happening. So I just really wanted to be a part of now a creative and innovative solution to what was happening in particular parts of the St. Louis community. I do definitely think that it is so important. You know, we all have to work to survive. But if you can have that work, that paying job that you have, be something that also really feeds your soul, that just makes life so much more meaningful. And so that's what really brought me back to St. Louis. And like I said, I loved my job. I was working with some amazing, creative, very brilliant people. And the kind of things that we would work on were really exciting. But I had to think about kind of the bigger picture. Is this really helping to create solutions for a specific challenge that I knew existed in the St. Louis community?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we need more people like you. We need more people, brilliant people that have a passion to serve other people and to solve these challenges. And because we have a lot of them.
Yeah, we do.
But it just shows me, though, that when you've got people that are willing to do that, great things can happen. So talk to us a little. That kind of brings us more into Empower. Mm-hmm. And Empower is actually headquartered in
New York City,
right? But you were basically the first regional director for this region for Empower. So talk to us about the mission of Empower, Trina.
So Empower, at our core, we're working to close the tech skills gap. There's really two needs that we see on the employer side. There is a need for more skilled, particularly diverse IT talent, knowing that pretty much everything is going the way of digitization. And so no matter what industry you're in, needing to find more technologists that can help support whatever your business operations are. And at the same time, a lot of the inequities that I was seeing when I was here so many years ago, I won't date myself by saying when I graduated from high school, but that I continue to see the divides growing as I was coming back and visiting family. And then now that I've seen since I've been back about 13 years now, so many of those divides come from just the lack of education, training, and access. And so knowing that there are some brilliant technologists that exist in some of our most distressed and challenged communities, and with the right type of supports and the right opening of doors, that they would be able to meet those talent needs of our employers. So it's a win-win situation that Empower is really working to address by providing free IT training classes and paid internships to young adults 18 to 25 with at least a high school diploma or equivalency, and over a 24-week period, them learning those foundational IT skills, once again, all for free to them, and then having a 7-week internship where they're able to then do the practical application of those skills and develop some initial experience that will then allow them to go off and get an entry-level IT job And our goal really isn't just about the training. It's not just about training and securing a job. It's about continued career advancement within the digital space. So really supporting them and launching and then continually advancing within a digital career is what we're working to do. So to that end, we support our alumni for up to 3 years formally post-graduation, and that support can look like either helping them identify additional advanced training that will help them to keep growing within their career, negotiating promotions or salary increases, as well as in some of our more mature regions, we offer advanced training classes in cybersecurity, coding, cloud computing. And so St. Louis being the baby of the group, we've only been here for about 2.5 years. We are just now starting to plan for our first advanced training class for the first 4 cohorts of alumni that we've had so far.
That is wonderful. And when are you looking to launch that?
It'll be a little later this year.
Okay.
it's been very exciting, but you can imagine just any startup, there's a lot that happens. So it's been a very exciting 2 years so far. And so just really getting solid grounding for that entry level foundational skills training. So now we're starting to shift our focus to our first advanced training class. So ideally by July, might be a little sooner than that mm-hmm. we'd be ready to start that.
That is so wonderful. See, I didn't know about the post-graduation, the support for 3 years. That's something we'd never talked about.
Right.
But that is so important.
But we understand
so
that
important.
It's not, I mean, yes. even once we get jobs, and, yes. and even someone who might come a more traditional route of earning a degree, I know for myself, even in my 20s, it was someone who really took me kind of under their wing and helped mentor me through the different job growth that I experienced mm-hmm. at Apple. So I could not have done that alone. And so just knowing right. that it's not just about getting to the starting line, but really supporting someone throughout their career.
Their journey. I love it. I love it. You know, we've talked about a lot of this, but, you know, what do you see coming for the future of digital and technology? And you've already kind of said, I mean, every industry, it doesn't matter who you are, is going to be digitized if they're not already.
Right. If they're not already working towards that, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we talk about is that we're at a point where we can't even really foresee with complete accuracy what the world is going to look like in 3 to 5 years. And so someone who is coming in and understanding the foundational skills and then has the capacity and the kind of agility to be able to say, okay, I see it's going in this direction. Let me prepare for that. And then when something new emerges, then they're able to quickly use those skills that they already had as foundational
right.
knowledge and use that to apply to this new technology. And so just that ability to not just be kind of stuck in the moment, but always be learning, always be growing, and always be flexible and able to move. Because honestly, all that I think we all can say for sure is that we're going to continue to have more and more technology
yes.
At play.
Right.
But really knowing what that is, and like things that are really exciting right now are around automation, AI, artificial intelligence, robotics process automation, and everything being in the cloud. But there's so much that we really just won't know until we get there 2 years from now, 3 years from now,
it's
5 years from now, 10 years from now. So people who are always willing, we always stress this a lot to our young adult students also, is just really always being a continuous learner. And so people who are, you know, have that growth mindset are always thinking
yes.
about, how do I learn more?
So what I see you saying, Trina, is one of the things you're trying to do is you're trying to give these students the building blocks.
Yes.
Critical thinking skills, problem-solving skills that are going to translate that they can take with them no matter what that future
industry they're interested in. They don't all have to come in feeling like they were kind of the traditional computer geeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they
mm-hmm.
wanted to go into music, understanding that music is completely digitized now.
Yes.
And so understanding how the engineering even behind that is different than maybe 20 years ago when a production engineer looked very different or someone who was doing marketing around
mm-hmm.
Music would look very different. So.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So rich here. I love this discussion. I think we could go on and on and on. But talk to us. This is called Something Extra. Talk to us, Trina, about something extra that you've seen in one of your team members. It could be a mentor. It could be a coach. Give us something extra that you've seen in one of those people.
So I actually, I want to talk about the head of school that was at Jamaa Learning Center. She actually came in for the last 3 years, and it was after a very tumultuous time where it almost looked like we were going to close after our second year. And so once again, I just want to speak about that divine providence, because mm-hmm. we were literally 2 weeks before we had decided school is going to start on this date, whether we have a head of school or not. We had hired teachers, we had hired social workers, but finding her after so many interviews and things looking like they were going to work out and then and didn't, it really was divine providence, as someone just mentioned, that this was a young woman moving from Springfield, Illinois to St. Louis, Missouri, had been in education. And what I want to say about her is that she had such strong faith, and that was something that really ended up helping me. The school was my vision, but I felt like when she came in, we really became true partners around this vision. And when things would get rough or hard, when there was times that, you know, our scholars, our families, our staff were starting to question what was going to happen, particularly in that last year when we knew we were going to close, she really was a strong rock for me. She helped me always go back to just lean on your faith. Mm-hmm. Lean on, like, if you're doing this because this is your purpose, then you can't go wrong. And just right. trust in your faith. Trust mm-hmm. that things are going to happen. As long as you do the work that you were set here to do, mm-hmm. things are going to work out in the end. And so I feel like that's something that we can look at our jobs as just, this is the pain work that I do. I get up every morning and do. But when you really have that kind of purpose-driven, faith-based approach to it, it almost becomes like a ministry for you. And so it just gets you through the hard times. And mm-hmm. I think as a leader, that really, she really helped me in kind of maneuvering through the obstacles and the challenging points yes. by helping me to stay so
strong
rooted
to the
in
vision, rooted in your faith and strong to that vision. That's wonderful. Well, tell me, what do you believe the something extra is that every leader needs?
I've gotten into, I find all these different like memes of quotes and sayings by yes. different people. I want to highlight two of them. One is something that Nelson Mandela said once, I never lose, I just win or learn. And so that whole, I love that idea. And I say that to our students a lot because I feel like it's the idea of seeing every opportunity, seeing everything as not just as a failure, a setback, or you kind of shut down. Always seeing that all of life is just about continuing to grow and learn. And whether you're winning or you're winning because you're learning from right. what others might call sure. a loss, you're yes. always winning. And so just really having that mindset is something I think is so critical, especially to get through those humps and through those obstacles and through those setbacks. I think also just the importance of village. And so even just literally yesterday, I was speaking with someone. We both went to Georgia Tech. We both were from St. Louis, but we didn't meet till we were there. And we actually didn't meet until we ended up pledging the same sorority together. She's another just powerful person who's part of my village. And in speaking with her yesterday about some things that we're constantly growing and continuous learners. So mm-hmm. I'm at a point where I'm still trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to continue to grow? And what I'm doing here. Speaking with her yesterday, she was saying that all life is just a series of experiences that we should be learning from. And just kind of where I was going through that midlife crisis and leaving Apple to go into education, you know, she was saying, what did you learn from that process? It actually kind of sparked my thoughts about, oh, maybe this is another good time for me to go through the purpose-driven life again. It's not something that's mm-hmm. just kind of a one-time thing.
Absolutely.
It's because we're all continuously mm-hmm. evolving and growing
right.
and learning.
We're not the same person that we were
right.
7 years ago. So maybe our purpose...
So just
right.
like technology continues yes. to change yes. and evolve like we as yes. people. And so, but I'm bringing that story up more just to think about how impactful that was for me to be able to reach out to her yesterday when I was having some moments of, like mm-hmm. I told her, I'm having some moments of crisis in my thoughts and clarity right now. I think a lot of people, they'll see an individual who is doing some amazing things and they'll think, wow, that person is just, they're brilliant. They're, you know, they're driven. But realizing the strength of their village around them and how that really helped them to get where they are, I really do value
it's critical.
That. And so I just think that's something we all need to think about, being very intentional about who we surround ourselves with and who we have in our village.
Great advice. I love that. So, Trina, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about something that's coming up? How can people get involved and empower if they would want to? And I'm hoping that they will.
Like I said, just thinking about in my 20s, and I look at the young people we serve at Empower Now and think a lot about how I see myself in them. And so just both leveraging that idea of how important it is to have a village and how important it was for me to have kind of mentors take me under their wing in my 20s as I was first just developing as a technologist, as a professional. We're big on engagement with professionals, with technologists at different stages of, mm-hmm. of their career. And so having them either come in and serve as a guest lecturer to speak about something, whether it's their journey professionally or a specific topic around, you know, conflict resolution, developing real mm-hmm. strong grit and resiliency, as well as serving as mentors, just being a part of that village that our young people are working to develop at this stage of their career. Just all the support that we can get as we wrap our arms around this next generation of technologists mm-hmm. is going to pay dividends, not just for them, but for those that are coming before them mm-hmm. and then for the companies that they work for. So sure. It would be wonderful to have anyone who's interested in being a part of the Empower Village here in St. Louis to contact me would be great.
So how would they find you, Trina?
They can find me either. My email address is trina.james@empower.org. So that's T-R-I-N as in Nancy A dot J-A-M as in Mary E-S at N-P-O-W-E-R.org. Also, I love for people to just contact me by phone at 314-325-9894. And then you can also find us on our website at empower.org. Go under the locations, find the St. Louis region, and look forward to being able to have more people join our village.
Well, I hope that a lot of our listeners will answer the call and and give you a call and get involved with Empower. They're doing wonderful things. So thank you again, Trina, for being with us today.
Thank you for the time.
It's executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.